to Washington, D.C. we go for the famous March for Life that will be underway and on the streets of Washington, D.C. today, leading the contingent from the University of Mary. A staple of these March for Life events is the president, Monsignor James Patrick Shea. President Shea, welcome back to What's on Your Mind.
Great to be with you today, Scott. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for covering the March for Life. So many times the media ignores this, which is the largest demonstration that ever happens every year in our nation's capital in defense of unborn human life.
Yeah, I think it's arguably the biggest civil rights march in the world every year.
That's true. And of course, I've been here many, many years. This year, Scott, it's beautiful. We have more from the University of Mary than we've ever had before. We've brought down six buses. And so there's six buses, more than 300 students from the university who are converging on our nation's capital. And then there are all kinds of other North Dakotans as well. I think the Diocese of Bismarck and the Diocese of Fargo both bring down people. And then all of the Catholic high schools bring buses as well. And so there will be hundreds and hundreds of North Dakotans represented in the March for Life this year.
Tell us why that's important to you, Mary students, and to youngsters all across North Dakota and Catholic schools and the diocese and the different churches. Why are you there?
Well, so there are several different reasons. One is the times in which we live. And so this is the largest contingent we've ever had from the University of Mary, which is surprising considering that we've come for so many years. And in 2017, we even led the march. We held the banner at the beginning of the march, but this is the most number of students that we've ever brought. And part of that is that our young chaplain, Father Dominic Bauck, who's, I think you've met him before, he's full of energy and he's full of zeal. And he decided that in the political environment in which we live, in which one party was making access to abortion one of the central components of their campaigns and their push forward, and in which there was a certain distancing on the other side, where, for instance, protection for unborn human life was being taken out of planks, which for so many generations had been in there. In that kind of atmosphere in which it was beginning to feel like defense of unborn human life was a losing issue, he wanted to make sure that our students stood up for life more than ever before, because the unborn child is voiceless and needs someone to speak up for her. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is this, and this is so important for my work with young people. I think sometimes you feel like when you've given your heart to a noble cause, when you're fighting for the good and the right in this world, so oftentimes you can feel, Scott, like you're all alone. And it's important that one understands that there are plenty of others who are fighting alongside you every day. And so when I bring students to the March for Life, there's a point on Constitution Avenue between the ellipse where the White House and the Washington Monument are. You walk up Constitution Avenue toward the Supreme Court. There is there's a point where Constitution Avenue surges. And at that point, I always tell the students, turn around and look. And there behind them are tens of thousands of people who are joined with them in their cause. And so their young hearts then rise up in relief and in recognition and in consolation. They know that they're not alone, that they're walking with many others. And then, of course, young people at the march are a great encouragement to all of us who have been fighting for life for so many generations. So it's going to be a great day. The sun is out in Washington, D.C. We've just heard that Vice President Vance is going to address the march in person. So he'll be joined by Speaker Johnson and by, I think, Governor Ron DeSantis is addressing the march in person. They always have some pro-life Democrats who address the march as well, so to show that it's not just a Republican issue, that it's a human rights issue, as you said. And I think the new president is addressing the March for Life via video conference. And so that, I think, is an important thing as well.
Yeah, he is in North Carolina visiting victims of the hurricane down there, as well as California and the wildfires today. So neat that he's sending J.D. Vance to be there in person, because there's been many of those marches you've been at where there's no acknowledgement even from the White House. And, often it's over the Martin Luther King holidays, but members of Congress are gone. So now it's a busy time with the new transition. And also it feels as though we have warriors that are fighting on this front on our behalf in government as well, which is important. We haven't always had that, have we?
No, thank goodness for that. Very oftentimes, pro-lifers have felt all alone and abandoned because the issue has felt radioactive to lots of people. And there, as I said before, there was a sense in which it was beginning to feel a little bit that way in the last election cycle. And yet now, now things seem to be back on track in a good way. We're expecting the Mexico City policy, which is a long time staple, I think going all the way back to Reagan times, in which U.S. funding is not available to foreign entities that provide abortion abroad, that will be reinstated today. We've been waiting, you know, there's been a flurry of executive orders, and we've been waiting for this to come out. Also, I think a group of pro-life protesters was pardoned yesterday. And so that is very, very encouraging. And so I think it's important from a political, but also from a moral standpoint, that pro-lifers are not invisible, and that those who are in public service know how present we are on the public scene, how deeply we care about not just unborn children, but about their mothers as well, and that we really, really want this issue to be front and center and not recede into the background.
I think after Roe v. Wade was, you know, sent back to the states, basically overturned, and states, you know, individually were able to do this, there was a euphoria of, you know, all these years of tossing, yes, and turning and toiling since Roe versus Wade. We've won a great victory, and we found out that, you know, unfortunately, there are states who have gone to a horrific, barbaric extreme in allowing, you know, abortion up to the moment of birth, and even you know, a child born alive being lawfully able to be murdered. It feels like we're on a new battlefront, doesn't it, state by state?
Yes. Well, so I think, first of all, yes, those of us who had worked for 50 years to overturn Roe versus Wade, which was a judicial travesty, it was terrible law. It was usurpation. Supreme Court, but it also was horrible in terms of how this issue then smoldered in the midst of our political discourse. It was a terrible thing. And so when it was overturned finally, we were really, really euphoric, as you said, because we had worked so long. And then what we found out is that we were caught a little bit flat-footed. The pro-life movement needed to shift, and shift more quickly than we did, into the business of winning hearts and minds. And so then there were a series of defeats, yes, in states where you might expect that, but also in places like Kentucky and Ohio and Kansas, there were really, really discouraging pro-abortion victories on ballot initiatives. And so we realized that people didn't understand, and that they were able to be captured by messages of fear and by propaganda, really. And so what we needed to do then is to shift our strategy. And this last election, you know, we were watching with trepidation, and three states went in the right direction. So Florida and Nebraska, and then our neighbors to the south, South Dakota, those voters all did the right thing and either rejected measures that would have significantly liberalized abortion access, or they enacted protections for unborn human life. And so both of those things are very important, and we were very grateful for that. And so there's a little bit of wind at our back now, but what we do need to do is win the hearts and the minds of our fellow citizens, and send out messages like love them both. An abortion stops a beating heart and breaks another. And what we need to do is make sure that we're supporting women who are faced with unplanned pregnancies and difficult circumstances in life, so that they feel that they truly do have a choice.
You know, as of, I forget how old I was when I was at my first march, but our kids, obviously, as they went up through Catholic schools, were there. So I would chaperone and go along. I've been there when you, Mary, as you mentioned a number of years ago, led the march. And as an old fart, I have to tell you, it's encouraging to see that amount of young people out there. I really, really have a positive viewpoint of the future in this issue, because the future leaders of this country are in a very good place when it comes to this issue. So as challenging as you know, the landscape is right now, state by state, the future, given the amount of youth that will be with you marching today and that are so passionate about this issue put us in a very good place for the future, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And they're a great source of personal hope and consolation for me and for many others, I think, as well. And so those of you who are out there listening, please keep us in your prayers today as we march for life and stand for innocent, unborn human life and for the changing of hearts and minds in the midst of our country.
As they hear from a Catholic vice president who converted to Catholicism, great story in J.D. Vance. So that's a unique part of today as well, and going to be exciting. Monsignor, thanks for taking some time. March safely up there to the Capitol and do some good today, and congrats on all the record number of University of Mary students that'll be there.
God bless you, Scott. Thanks for covering this issue. Very grateful.
All right, sir. Perfect. Thank you.
Hey, Scott, I'm very grateful. I'm going to get dressed here and go out, and we have Mass at St. Dominic's Church, and then we'll go over. It's going to be an amazing march.
Is that where you do St. Dominic's always?
We've done it for the last few years because it's right on the south side of the mall. You know, it's maybe a block and a half from where Kevin had his party, and so that's pretty good for us in terms of location because we can walk directly to the march from the Mass.
Did you get Cardinal Dolan to come say Mass again?
No, I think he's back in New York taking a nap.
All right, take care.
All right, God bless you, Scott. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.